I appreciate the reminder to be more like Jesus, and also the reminder that we are going to be judged by God's Word as to how we represent Jesus in our world today. There was a young man attending school, and he and some friends were talking about school and about what they were learning, and this young man made the comment. He said, "My real reason for being in school, and really my real reason for living, is that I am working to get an AUG degree." And the person said, "Well, what is an AUG degree?" And he said, "It's an approved unto God degree. That's what I'm working for." Later, that young man became a missionary, and later he was martyred as a missionary. And, of course, you probably know where AUG comes from, approved unto God. It's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and it says, "Study to show thyself." Can somebody finish it? And what else? Okay. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." The title of the message this morning is "Approved unto God." And we live in a world where people desperately are seeking approval. Approval in any way they can get it. And some of the most talented people, some of the most well-known people in the world are people who are desperately seeking for approval by other people. I've read accounts of sports heroes and movie stars who it seemed like their entire goal was to please other people and to be approved by other people. And I even heard about someone committing suicide because they felt like they just couldn't win the approval of the people that they thought were important. And it is true that we do need encouragement. We do need approval. We need encouragement and approval for the purpose of helping us to be better people, of helping us to be more God-conscious. And yet, we do not need approval for certain things. We do not need approval to focus on ourselves alone. We do not need approval to think that we're better than someone else. We do not need approval to compromise. We do not need approval to sin. And those things are often involved when people are seeking wrong approval. There's a passage in Romans that I never thought of before I started studying this subject. I never thought about this passage in relationship to approval before. But it's there. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And both verses mention approval. There are a lot of things we can get out of these verses, a lot of good teaching from these verses, but I especially want to think this morning of approval. Now, there's a word used in each of these verses that the idea is approval by God. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What is the word that is a version of approval? Acceptable. Acceptable unto God. And it's interesting that that word, that Greek word that's translated acceptable, is translated well-pleasing in some other places in the New Testament. For example, in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in the sight, in his sight through Jesus." Working that which is well-pleasing, in other words, what is acceptable to God. If something is acceptable to God, it pleases him. And we're all to be working for that AUG degree, acceptable unto God. Now, when we think about pleasing other people and the dangers of living to please other people, there is a good question that comes up first. And I want to take care of that question and go over that question a little bit before moving on. And that question is it ever right to please people? Is it ever right to please people? And the biblical answer to that, I'm not giving my answer. The biblical answer to that question is yes. It is right to please people. And of course, it depends on our motives. It depends on how we go about doing it. But it is right. First of all, it is right to please others as long as that is not the main motive for our actions. But we're pleasing people because we're submitting to God. And we're submitting to them and trying to help them. That is a valid reason for pleasing other people. Turn with me to Luke 14. We have an illustration of what it takes to please people in a genuine way. And that word, there's one word that can summarize what it takes according to this passage. Remember that it's right to please others as long as it's not for selfish motives and as long as it's submitting to God and helping others. Luke 14, 7 to 11. And the word is humility. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto themselves, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, like when you're bidden to a feast or to a wedding, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship or honor in the presence of them that sit and meet with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The real road to being praised by other people in a good way is humility. Humbling yourself, and only then can you be exalted. Secondly, it's right to please people if our motive is to leave a good name for Jesus Christ. If that's our motive, that's our purpose, that's our goal, to please Jesus Christ and be a witness for him. The proverb says that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold. In the qualifications for a bishop that we just studied a couple weeks ago, it says he must have a good report. In other words, he must have pleased people. He must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And that good report has to do with his life. That he's living for God. He's living to glorify God and honor God. That is a good report. Third, it's right to please people when the Bible says that we should please and honor people. And there are certain cases where the Bible says that we are supposed to honor people, and it even says please people. We're to honor and please our parents, our rulers, our spiritual leaders. And the Bible even says that husbands and wives please each other. Now, it's interesting. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 where it talks about the wife pleasing her husband and the husband pleasing his wife, and it's stated as a fact. It's not stated actually as a command, but simply as a fact that men please their wives and wives please their husbands. However, even though it's not stated as a command, it is not condemned. And so I gather from that husbands and wives are supposed to please each other as long as they don't do wrong to do it. Fourth, it's right to please people by denying ourselves so as not to put a stumbling block in their way. Denying ourselves can be a way of truly, genuinely pleasing other people. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And it talks about pleasing people by seeking their good. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 through 33, and then the first verse of the next chapter is connected with it. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do it all to please myself? Do it all to win friends and influence people? No. It says, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense. Don't be offensive, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things. Now that seems strange to be talking about pleasing all men in all things, because that sounds like you're courting people's approval in a wrong way. But then it gives the reasons why we need to please all men in all things is not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved. That's the real reason to please people. The first verse of the next chapter says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. That pleases God, and that is the way to please other people. It's not for my own good to make myself look big and mighty and powerful, but it is to help other people and even save them. And so I need to ask myself the question, am I pleasing people by not seeking my own profit, but theirs? Am I helping people to see Jesus by the way I relate to them? Someone said, do not look for approval except for the consciousness of doing what is right in God's sight. That's the way to look for approval. Well, there are some valid reasons for being approved by other people. And so now we want to look at seeking approval for wrong reasons. And then we want to look at seeking God's approval. When seeking approval focuses on me, myself, instead of on God, and when it focuses on trying to impress other people with myself, then I become guilty of people-pleasing. And looking at a number of verses, I come to the conclusion that people-pleasing to gain for myself and to impress other people is wrong. It is sin. And we want to look at some scriptures. In Galatians 1, it says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now that's talking about trying to please people for the wrong reasons. And if I do that, I'm not pleasing God. And I am not the servant of Jesus Christ or the slave of Jesus Christ. And if I'm not the slave or servant of Jesus Christ, whose servant or slave am I? 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. And again, it's seeking the wrong kind of approval in the wrong way. There are some dangers, real dangers, in people-pleasing, trying to please people instead of pleasing God, trying to please people in the wrong way. And I'm sure we could add to this list. I have a few of them here, and I'm sure we could add some more. The love of approval, wrong kind of approval, the love of people-pleasing enslaves us to the people that we're trying to please. And the way it enslaves us is that we become afraid to do anything that would offend other people, or afraid to do things that would make other people think less of us and put us down a little bit. We live in fear of people and their disapproval when we are guilty of people pleasing. In Romans 6:16, it says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, or slaves," it's literally the word slaves, "know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants or slaves ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." And so we're either servants of Jesus Christ, slaves of Jesus Christ, or we're servants of sin. And we can become servants of wrong approval. Secondly, the love of approval brings a desire to us that blinds us to our own sin. If what we're mainly living for is to please other people, that is eventually going to lead us into sin, because we'll do anything to please other people. Even if it's wrong, we'll do it to please or impress other people. Thirdly, the love of approval leads us to focus on people's opinions of us rather than God's opinion of us. It matters most what God thinks of me. Sure, it's good to be appreciated and approved of by God's people, and that's a blessing. However, if we're being approved for wrong reasons, then we'll focus on our own opinion of ourselves instead of on God's opinion. In John 5, it says, "How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not honor that cometh from God?" That's where the pleasing comes from. Fourthly, love of approval entices us to say yes when deep in our hearts we know we should say no. Fifthly, love of approval tempts us to give in to peer pressure and allow other people to control our minds and our actions. And we go back to Romans 12:2 again, where it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that being not conformed to the world has to do with a whole lot of things, not just necessarily outward things, but you know, outward things begin in the heart. And so when we feel like that we need to please someone else so desperately that we will even compromise and do wrong to do it, when we feel that way about it, we are being conformed to somebody else and somebody else's opinion. Courage, not compromise, is what really brings God's approval. Courage, not compromise. Six, love of approval leads you to choose the wrong kind of friends and to choose those friends for the wrong reasons. Love of approval. In the Proverbs, it says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." It matters whose footsteps we're walking after. 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." Communication has to do with the people we associate with, and good manners has to do with our moral habits. And it's interesting that the Greek word is ethos, E-T-H-O-S, from which we get the English word ethics. And ethics refers to right and wrong. If you're an ethical person, you follow what is right. If you're an unethical person, you follow what is wrong and what is sin. And so your friendship, your desire for approval, if those things affect your views of right and wrong, you are living for the wrong reason, for the wrong purpose. And you're living for the love of impressing other people and the love of approval. The love of approval tempts you to be hesitant to witness for Jesus Christ or to let people know that you even profess to be a Christian. The person who loves approval will be ashamed of being identified with Jesus Christ because he will be afraid that somebody is going to make fun of him. Somebody is going to look down upon him for identifying with Jesus Christ. A number of years ago, we had street meetings in St. Louis, and we had a share time on Saturday morning that week that we were there, and there were a couple of the people that were talking about the things that they feared the most about witnessing to these people out on the streets. And there were at least two people in the group that said their greatest fear was not being approved by the people, that the people would say things against them, that people would be critical, that people would reject them. And one man says, I guess I have to admit, the greatest fear that I have in life is people rejecting me. Rejecting him because he was following Jesus Christ and representing him. Now, I found a list of questions that the few of them didn't apply to our setting, and so I left those out that didn't apply to our setting. But this is a list of 16 questions to tell whether or not we are people pleasers in the wrong way. If we're trying to please people with the wrong motivations and the wrong purpose. And this was set up as like a questionnaire. And it was set up that what you did was, if you say you never have a problem with one of these, you give yourself a 5. If you most of the time have problems, you give yourself a 1. And then you can give yourself one of the numbers in between, depending on how seriously you feel like you have this problem. And then when you get to the end of it, I have 16 of them here. The original list was 20. When you get to the end of the list, you have, and if you would multiply 16 by 5, you get 80. If you got an 80, that means that you have absolutely no problem with pleasing people for the wrong reasons. But if you get much lower than that, the original list said that if you got 10 points below that, you're beginning to have problems. And if you get 20 below that, you have serious problems and you need to repent. But anyway, so you can think it through. I know it'll have to be a little faster than you can jot down numbers or whatever. But just think about these. Number one, I am loving approval in a wrong way when I am very sensitive to how other people perceive me and whether or not they like me. That's my focus. That's my goal. Got to get people to like me. I just got to. If that is your focus, you are pleasing people instead of God. Number two, it is more important to me what others want me to do than what is right according to the Bible. And we need to answer that honestly. Number three, I like to go fishing for compliments. And there are different ways of going fishing for compliments. One way is to say, look at me, how great I am. Didn't I jump higher than anybody else? But there are other ways of fishing for compliments. Another way of fishing for compliments is to put yourself down a little bit, hoping somebody will pat you on the back and say you didn't do so bad after all. That's also fishing for compliments. If I have trouble with fishing for compliments, it's because I love the approval of men more than the approval of God. Number four, I have a love of approval. If my desire to please others is based on how it will benefit me rather than how it will glorify God and help other people. My desire to please others is based on how it will benefit me rather than on how it will glorify God and help other people. Number five, I value the approval of the in-group more than the approval and honor of those that the Bible says that I should respect. The Bible says we should respect and seek the honor of certain people. Our parents, our leaders, government leaders even. But I value the approval more of the in-group than the approval and honor of those that glorify God. Number six, I worry about what people think of me. What do they think? If I wear this, are they going to laugh at me? Are they going to say, my, that looks old fogey? Or that sure doesn't go with your complexion? Don't you know what you're supposed to do? Do I worry constantly about what other people think of me? Number seven, I love approval too much when I'm willing to sin and compromise rather than face the rejection of certain people. Number eight, I struggle not to show favoritism toward those that I want to impress. If I'm a lover, a seeker after approval of people, I'm going to try to impress people. And I'll do things for people to get them to like me and be impressed with me. Number nine, I believe that being rejected by my peers is one of the worst things that can possibly happen to me. And this writer said, if you feel that way, you are guilty of pleasing people and not pleasing God. Being rejected by my peers is one of the worst things that can possibly happen. You know, there are a lot worse things that can possibly happen than being rejected by a wrong person. There are a lot worse things. Sinning is a lot worse than being rejected by someone. The disapproval of God is a lot worse than being disapproved by man, being approved by man. Number 10, I avoid conflicts rather than trying to resolve them. And I had to think that one through a little bit. You see, when a person tries to at all cost, even to the point of doing wrong or compromising, to avoid conflict, then that shows a people-pleasing spirit, that you're trying to get people to like you. And you want to give the impression that you are a peacemaker. But conflict needs to be resolved. And we shouldn't be wanting people to be pleased with us because we don't ruffle the waters and we don't want to offend anybody. And we're hoping people will like us. Number 11, I become frustrated or even angry when I am corrected by other people, especially in public. If I have those feelings in public, especially when I'm corrected by someone else, then it shows that I'm pretty sensitive about what people think about me. Number 12, when meeting new people, I think more about how to impress them than how to help them. Number 13, I forget that being rejected for doing what is right is part of the suffering for righteousness' sake that God calls me to do. Number 14, I long to be noticed more than I long to be godly. 15, I give in to peer pressure rather than standing up for what I know is right. And number 16, I do not witness to others for Jesus as I should because I fear being criticized or rejected. We already hinted at that. I took the test, and I got on the borderline between not having an extremely serious problem and having a very serious problem. And I was right there on the borderline between the two. Well, let's think now about pleasing God. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. This chapter is what we sometimes call the faith chapter. It's the chapter where we read about what we call the heroes of faith and the suffering that they had to endure for righteousness' sake. Hebrews 11, 6. And it says, what it is impossible to do, what we need to do to please God. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. That means trust in God, and trust that leads to obedience. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then follows the description of the people we call the heroes of faith. But go back one verse and notice the word please again. Hebrews 11, 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And when I read that verse, I asked myself the question, is my testimony, is my chief aim in life that I please God? That comes first. Is it your testimony that you please God? Now, go down to verse 35 where it talks about their persecution. And notice what it must have taken. It must have taken this thing of not pleasing man, especially ungodly people. It must have taken a lot of that for these people to take the stand that they did. Hebrews 11:35 says, women receiving their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Somebody even offered them deliverance from their persecution and to please other people and to please these people that offered them deliverance, they could have accepted, but it says they refused. And others had trial of cruel mocking and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. That doesn't sound like approval, does it? Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report or a good reputation through faith, received not the promise. Now, where did they receive their good reputation from? Where did they receive their praise from? Well, my first conclusion is it came from God. And perhaps it came from other godly people that were suffering along with these saints of old. They obtained a good report through faith. And it's obvious that the good report was not the approval of their ungodly neighbors or even of those who professed to believe in the true God and yet their hearts were far from the true God. Hebrews 12:1 says, is the verse that follows the faith chapter, and it's talking about the consequences in our lives of reading that faith chapter, what it should be. And it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, these witnesses were the heroes of faith mentioned in chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, following God, seeking his approval. Now let's go back to Romans 12, 1 and 2 again. Romans 12, 1 and 2. You remember it used the word acceptable there. We've seen the word acceptable, approved, are words that refer to both our relationship to man and our relationship to God. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, not just your minds, but your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And as I read this passage again, I asked myself a series of questions. What does my life and my mind prove to God and to others? What does it prove about my relationship to God? What does it prove about what I love more than anything else? Does it show that I am possessed with a love of approval for the wrong people and for the wrong reasons? Or does it show that I am seeking God's approval and the approval of the people that God approves of? What does it show about my love for the truth? What does it show about my love for God? Why am I pleasing people? Is it the way that God would want me to please people? In 1 Corinthians 10, it says, even as I pleased all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many. That's to be my goal, for the good of others. Do I encourage other people in the Christian faith? Do I point them to the way of Jesus by my life and by my actions? If I'm not the servant of Jesus Christ, then whose servant am I? There's no middle ground. We're either the servants of Jesus Christ or the servants of Satan and the servants of sin. In Colossians, it says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's the way to find approval. Seeking God and increasing in his knowledge. If we're determined to please the Lord, that's the way we're getting to heaven. We're going to respect and honor and submit to him. And we're going to respect and honor and submit to the authorities that God has placed over us. We'll never receive blessing from the Lord unless we focus on what pleases him. 1 John 3:22 says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Unless we think, talk, and live to please the Lord, we'll never have peace with the Lord. We'll never get to heaven. We'll go to heaven, and we'll go to hell instead. The approval that we seek is related directly to judgment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, it talks about the judgment seat of Christ and what's going to happen there. And as I was thinking of this thing of approval, that passage struck me. It uses the word accepted, very similar to Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent," in other words, whether we're living or whether we've passed on, "that we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad." I am going to be judged on a lot of different things. How I showed love to people, whether I hated people, I'm going to be judged for my thoughts. I'm going to be judged for my actions. And this passage is saying that I'm going to be judged by whether I have striven to be acceptable to Jesus or not. Or has my focus been on being acceptable to others? What is our ambition? What is our goal? It's going to affect our eternal destiny. The hymn writer said, "What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me?" And that's going to be in part determined by whether I live to approve him, for his approval or not. Will you, like Peter, your Lord deny? Will you scorn from his foes to fly? Daring for Jesus to live or die, what will you do with Jesus? Jesus, I give thee my heart today. Jesus, I'll follow thee all the way. Gladly obeying thee will I say, this will I do with Jesus. I will live and strive to please him with my whole heart. Let's kneel together in prayer.